is without guilt or pain. So oft abandoned by our transgressions, if such a thing as grace exists, then grace was made for lives like these. There are no strangers, there are no outcasts, there are no orphans of God. So many fallen, but hallelujah, there are no orphans of
Morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see all of you out this morning. Let's try that one more time. Good morning.
Good morning.
I need a smile from everybody in here right now, and I'm going to look until I get it from everybody. Close enough. Close enough. All right.
You got to look a little longer.
Okay. Up there. Got them up there, too. All right. I have a few announcements. I'm going to try to move through fairly quickly this morning. It was brought to my attention that we have a church member whose birthday is this Wednesday, and he's a shut-in, and him and his wife are not able to be here for health reasons. But all of you know Mr. Gus and Miss Barbara Green. Mr. Gus's birthday is Wednesday, so I want everybody to stand up and look at the camera back there. Bailey's got the camera, and I want you to look at the camera and say, "Happy birthday, Mr. Gus," at the same time. I'm gonna count to three. One, two, three.
Happy birthday, Mr. Gus.
Thank y'all. I appreciate that. And I also want to highlight an anniversary we have here this morning. I just found this out this morning, but Philip and Kimberly Robinson are celebrating an anniversary today. So make sure you see them before you leave today and wish them a happy anniversary. Also, Ms. Frankie wanted me to remind you that the medical mission team will be having a lunch immediately following the service, and it is free. They will accept donations, but if you didn't come prepared, come eat anyway. And Board of Stewards, if you're on the Board of Stewards, I need to see you for about 5 minutes immediately following the service today. At this time, Mr. Donald, I believe, had something he wanted to share with us.
We'd like to express our sincere gratitude not only for all the time and effort put into planning and carrying out of the special and surprise day, and it truly was a surprise, in December, but also for the love and support of our church family during our times of health issues during this past year. We love you all and truly feel loved by each of you. Thank you, and God bless you.
I wanted to acknowledge my appreciation in spite of my confusion that Sunday when that event occurred. I had no idea that anything like that was even in the making or in the wind or anywhere else. But for you that were here, I appreciated. You know my wife, she's extremely quiet, so she didn't have any problem keeping it quiet. But she must have done a good job on the rest of you, because I didn't have any idea that what was happening. But I thank you again, and for those expressions that were given, I trust that I might be worthy in a little ways, but for my dear wife, I thank her especially, because she's little, but she's powerful, and if you don't believe it, I could write you a little book on it.
I think Dr. Blank had just a few announcements for us at this time.
In your bulletin, there is an insert. Please, please read it carefully, particularly under the treasurer's report. We just thrill in the Lord because of your faith and faithfulness in giving. Our receipts this past month was over $10,000. Puts us very close to our total goal with January yet to be there. Don't say, oh, we're almost at the goal. I won't give this month. You give it in faith, and God will bless it at that point. Please also read the back part, which has the description of the activities of our conference throughout the missions conference time. Don't miss that, which is on the back as well. Also, if you're interested in a helicopter ride, be sure to sign up on the sheet that is on the missions table back in the hallway here. We like to have sign-ups there so we know exactly when to schedule people, and we'll be looking forward to that great time. Pray for the conference, plan to participate in it, and be a partner in what is going on. Thank you.
Trey, we all, all you young people, you know, #Goals. 63 years. Yes, it is. I had one more announcement that I have failed to mention for the last 2 weeks, so I'm running a couple of weeks behind with the announcements. But as of January the 1st this year, Mr. Ed Thigpen retired from being our church treasurer, and the board has appointed Ron Lee to that position. So if you have any needs with our treasurer at all, Ron Lee will be handling that from here on out. But with that being said, I'm not going to embarrass Mr. Ed, But I would like to say a few things about Mr. Ed. Mr. Ed has faithfully served our church for the last 11 years as our treasurer. He served the Lord by serving our church, and he's done a great job. He's served at the pleasure of the board. He's attended the board meetings and advised the board in financial matters, and he has done an excellent job. And this morning, I would like for Mr. Ed to come forward. I have a gift from our church family that I'd like to present to you, Mr. Ed, if you will. That's all I have at this time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, Lord, I thank you so much for the ability to be in your house today, Lord. I thank you for all these, Lord, that you've given the health, Lord, and the ability to be here as well, Lord. And Father, I pray that everything we say and do today, Lord, everything we sing to you and the words that are spoken to us today, Lord, Father, I just pray that you just use everything to your honor and glory, Lord. And Father, that you just find us worshiping you this morning, Lord, and we give you all the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, this is the day the Lord has made, and we're again rejoicing and praising him for it. To begin our service this morning, let's join together in singing the call to worship till the whole world knows, singing it through twice, followed by the medley of songs, Jesus' name above all names. Each will be flashed on the screen as we sing together. Let us stand together till the whole world knows, singing through twice. Till the whole world knows, singing. Jesus' name above all names, together singing. His name is wonderful. I love Jesus. There is a name. Joining together.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing. It's forever. It sounds like music in my
while you're standing, greet those around you again, wishing God's blessing today.
There is one name on your prayer list that I'd like to simply draw attention to. It was mentioned to me this morning before service. Under long-term needs, it's Carrie Cribb. She had been diagnosed with cancer a while back. Things seemed to be progressing well, but just this past week she's received some very disturbing news, and things are not so well. So please remember Carrie in your prayers, and certainly all of these. In the Old Testament, one of the Psalms, it says that you anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. And I often wondered why my cup isn't overflowing. I mean, the Scripture says it will be, but the truth is sometimes it almost feels like my cup's about empty or half full. Is it because the one who made the promise isn't faithful? Or is it because I don't lift my cup up with more often and say, fill my cup, Lord? I'm going with the latter, by the way. The truth is, if we'll lift the cup up, it'll overflow. Let's lift our cups this morning. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, we thank you that today is certainly not about our circumstances, our needs, and yet you're concerned about those very things. And that we can come to you, and even when we find our lives aren't overflowing, if we'll just lift our cups to you, Lord, your promise was that overflow. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to recognize that too often we settle for so much less than what you want to give us. Lord, we confess that too many times we let the world deceive us into thinking that somehow we know better than you what is best for our lives. So we pray that you'd forgive us. Forgive us for trying to think that sometimes, Lord, that you know, we know better than you. Forgive us and fill our cups this morning. Lord, help us to realize that even when life is hard, and we know that life can be so difficult at times, and even here this morning, some are hurting and worried and upset, and Lord, I pray that through your Spirit, we would open our ears and simply hear your voice speak to our circumstance and to our needs this morning, because we know that you love us. And when we think about your love, how awesome it is, Lord, your love really does overflow. And Lord, your love is so good, and we pray that love would just sustain us and keep us, Lord, as we listen to your call upon our lives. And Lord, as a church, we pray for some special events that are coming up. First of all, for tonight and the showing of the video, Lord, the value of a soul. We know how valuable souls are to you, and we only have to say Calvary to be reminded of how precious we are. But Lord, we know that a lot of invitations have gone out, and for those that have received invitations, Lord, we pray that today, through the course of the next hours, that you just call them and Lord, remind them of the invitation, and Lord, that they would come, that they might hear the good news of who you are and what you'll do for their lives. And we just leave the results with you. And we pray for the Clarendon County Christian Learning Center that's going to be beginning in just a few weeks. And Lord, we confess, just a year ago, we didn't have any thoughts about what was going to take place. But Lord, that's the way you amaze. Lord, you've covered so many details to get us to this point, and we're just leaving the rest of these details over the next couple of weeks to you, and know that you're going to provide everything that's needed. And as Dr. Blank challenged us, Lord, this morning, we pray for our mission conference. Lord, may it rekindle a passion deep within us to get your good news out, not only across the world, but right here in our own community. And Lord, I pray that we would be challenged through the testimony and through the messages of the missionaries that are coming to share with us. And Lord, may we also be a source of encouragement to them, that we hold them up not only in our prayers, but physically, Lord, may we be here and attend and let them know how much that we appreciate, Lord, their faithfulness to your calling. So Lord, again, in our time of worship, we open our lives to you, and we just ask that you would speak to us, to where we are, and lead us, Lord, to where we need to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Messiah, Lord of all.
Ushers, if you would, please come forward to receive our offering.
Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you again, Lord, for everything you've done for us this week, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you've given us, Lord, the many things that you've given us, Lord. And, Father, we just ask that as we give back this portion, Lord, Father, we just pray that, Lord, you just use it and multiply it, Lord, for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
And just before Dr. Walls comes and shares the message of the morning, we invite you again to join with us in singing the hymn number 76, O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing, singing all the stanzas. And during this time, we will dismiss our children and children's workers for their place of worship. And that right before Brother Walls comes to share the message, our special this morning will be shared by Madison Sexton and Lane Robinson. Joining together, number 76, may it be words of praise for our lips today. Oh, for a thousand tongues singing together. Thank you, church. You may be seated. Young people, you come and share at this time, please.
There's a child on the sidewalk. His story's written on his face. And the pain he's felt is enough to fill a lifetime. He doesn't know any other way. Somebody tell him that the lost are saved. Somebody tell him that his debt's been paid. And let him know love is calling out his name. Somebody tell him he's a child of the King. And there's an end to the suffering. And hope that never fades, through grace is made away. Somebody tell him now.
You can see it on the TV, or in the middle of a crowded room. There's a sea of broken hearts that are longing to be washed away by an ocean of truth.
Somebody tell them that the lost are saved. Somebody tell them that his debt's been paid. And let him know love is calling out his name. Somebody tell him he's a child of the King. And there's an end to the suffering. In hope that never fades, through grace is made away. Somebody tell him now. Oh, somebody tell them now. Too many times we've all held back the truth from those put in our path. So let us be the voice of love to them. Somebody tell them now. Oh, somebody tell them now. Somebody tell them that the lost are saved. Somebody tell them that their debt's been paid. And let them know love is calling out their name. Somebody tell them there's a child of the King. And there's an end to the suffering. And hope that never fades, through grace is made away. Somebody tell them now. Oh, somebody tell them now.
Great job, guys. Thank you. You know, you can tell a little bit about how old a person is by the size of the words that they use when they sing. I don't know about you, but it's like, really? Honestly, though, and all joking aside, thank you for the power of the message of that song. And truly, that, isn't that a big part of our ministry as a church? Somebody tell them now. Church, tell them now. Because people need to hear it. Anyway, powerful song. You know, I was thinking this week in preparation for this morning, and one of the thoughts that came to mind was, how much differently would we see things if we asked Jesus to heal our spiritual blindness as much as we would ask him to heal our physical blindness? I mean, if we were really blind, and I think that would be, Lord, heal my blindness so I can see, you know, kind of like Bartimaeus. And I wondered why we so often put up with spiritual blindness in our life. And it can be a number of things. Sometimes it's events that enter into our life that somehow keep us from seeing, I think, what God wants us to see. But sometimes it's just self-imposed blindness. We choose not to see things the way that God wants us to. How much differently would things look to us if we just said, Lord, heal our spiritual blindness? Well, this morning we're going to talk about sheep and shepherding just a little bit. And I confess to you, I know absolutely nothing, at least firsthand, about sheep and shepherding. I've never shepherded them. I've never raised them. All I got really is some information that I went digging and said, okay, you know, What's this all about? And here's some things that at least some people say about sheep in particular. They say that sheep can kind of be high maintenance because, well, they always need constant watching. They just, you know, if they don't watch them, they just wander off. They also say they're easily frightened and, well, fairly defenseless when it comes to predators. And a couple, several of them, in fact, made the point, really, you know, when it comes to smarts, sheep really aren't the smartest animal in the pen. They're kind of dumb. I don't know if any of those things are true, but what I do know is if they are true, I kind of understand why the Bible often speaks about us being the sheep. Because you know what? A lot of times we're just flat out not very smart when it comes to things of the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I consider myself pretty high maintenance. And if I'm not careful, I find myself wandering off and saying, how did I get here? And the Lord having to come and find me yet again. Well, this morning we're going to read about some words that Jesus said about being the good shepherd. And as you stand for the reading of the word this morning, go to John chapter 10, starting with verse 1. John 10, verse 1. Jesus speaking. I tell you the truth, a man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep, and all who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters in through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You may be seated. I'm a bit surprised when I read verse 6. It says that Jesus used this figure of speech, but they didn't understand what he was saying. Now, I would understand why we today might struggle with some of the concepts of sheep and shepherding because most of us probably don't have a lot of experience with them. But these people, why didn't they get it? Shepherding and sheep, that was part of life in Palestine at this particular place. And if you stop and think about it, I mean, they were much closer to even all those Old Testament passages where God would say that he was, in fact, the shepherd of his people. In fact, one of the most known psalm of all time, you'd probably know it by heart, is Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. See, those are great and powerful words there. And then David, as he wrote that psalm, began to unpack what he meant when he said, the Lord is my shepherd. In fact, he said, because the Lord is our shepherd, God's going to provide for us. He's going to lead us to those green pastures. Because the Lord is our shepherd, he's going to lead us out of all the craziness that exists in our fallen world, but God's going to lead us to those still, peaceful waters. Because the Lord is our shepherd, even when it becomes our time to make our walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's going to walk us right on through to the other side, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, the Lord is my shepherd. Those are good words. Those are great words for us. And so when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, I like that a lot. In fact, I underlined part of the words that says that he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I like that he knows me. I'm not creation number JXP81459 and have some sort of barcode that identifies me to God. No, the God of the universe. And the more I hear about the universe and we discover how massive and all, I mean, it blows my mind that God made all of this, but that God that made this universe, he knows Rodney Eugene Wald, the very thing that makes me tick. He knows me. He knows the very second I became me. Now, I sometimes struggle with names. You probably already have guessed that. And sometimes it's kind of, well, it's kind of awkward, isn't it? Sometimes when somebody calls you by name and you're sitting there thinking, what's their name? What's their name? It's Lord, give me their name quick. And you're trying to figure it out. But you know what? God never has to say, hey, you over there. No. When God wants to talk to people, he calls them by name. I mean, that's what he did for Moses, right? When Moses saw the bush that was burning, but it wasn't being burned up, and he went over to see what was going on, and it said that the Lord called to him from out of the burning bush and said, Moses, Moses. He called him by name. Same thing with Samuel in the Old Testament. Read 1 Samuel chapter 3 this afternoon, and what you're going to find is here's a young boy. He goes to bed one night, and he hears someone calling his name. Now, he's staying with Eli the priest, and he thinks it's got to be Eli calling him. And he gets up, and he runs in there and says, hey, you called me. What'd you want? And Eli said, I didn't call you. Happens three different times. But every time God was speaking, he called him by name. See, God knows us by name, whether we like it or not. That's how well God knows us. He knows what we're doing every single second of our lives. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what you're thinking right now. Y'all but need to think more about what's going on, right? But he knows what we're thinking. Knows what makes me, me. Fact is, he knows some things about you that you'll never, or about me that you guys will never know. Because he knows my deepest, darkest secrets that I wish he didn't know, but he does. See, God knows us whether we like it or not. But God has promised to provide for us and to lead us as the good shepherd and to take care of us. But for these things to happen, for God to protect us, provide for us, and lead us to where we need to be, see, that is up to us. I mean, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. So he knows, right? He knows our fears, our failures, our doubts, our sins. He knows about us. And if Jesus didn't love us, we should be concerned that he knows us that well. Because he could make our life miserable. But he does love us. He loves us in a way that we can never truly understand. And all we have to do is give him the opportunity. And he said, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. See, he loves us, and his presence in us gives us the ability to then overcome the sin and the doubts and the things that often blind us to his presence. Jesus said, I know my sheep's name, and I lead them out. So he's out in front of us. And all that he asked for us this morning is that we follow. I mean, Jesus never says, I want you to go over there, and then when you get back, come tell me what went on. No, no, no. See, the good shepherd talk is the fact that Jesus has committed himself to leading the way. And is not life nothing more than a series of many choices? Who are you going to marry? And I'm thinking with the divorce rate the way that it is and all the broken lives and hurt that comes because relationships break up, I'm thinking we ought to consult God about a little more about who we ought to marry. Or where are we going to go to school? Should we take this job or that job? Should we take this promotion or let it go? Should we get a loan for this or should we not? Should we retire or should we keep work? See, these are all, when he says he'll lead us, he leads us. Not just in, quote, the spiritual things that are going on in our lives, but he leads us through every decision we got to go. Right, left, stop, go, everything, he's willing to lead us. I mean, does following not sound easy to you? But I find it hard. I mean, remember, we're sheep, right? Sheep are high maintenance, wander off, get themselves into trouble, and, well, aren't the smartest creatures in the pen. It ought to be easy for us to simply stay behind Jesus, but so often it is not. He wants to take the lead, and that means that if we're going to let him take, we've got a faith choice to make. See, faith not only believes that God can, it then trusts that God will. Faith is so much more than simply knowing the right answers. See, faith is about us living the answers. I was reading about a physics professor. And he was teaching about the law of the pendulum. And the law of the pendulum is when you have a pendulum, it never returns to its original starting point. And there's all kinds of mathematical equations about when it swings out, it can't get back to where it started. It comes up just a little short with every pass. Okay? And so he was teaching his class about the law of the pendulum, and some of the students in the class decided that they wanted to try it out. I guess they wanted to see if the professor was really right or not. And so they constructed a large pendulum with a metal cable, and they attached a 50-pound weight barbell weight to the end of the cable. And they asked if the professor would be willing to meet them after class and kind of go through this experiment with them, you know, as they said. Well, he was thrilled, right? Because I don't know about you, but, you know, people listening and following instructions don't always happen. And so he said, wow, these kids actually listened to what I said. So sure, he would do it. He was real thrilled until he got there and found out what they wanted him to do. They had this nice high chair or stool, and they had him sit on the chair, and they brought that 50-weight pound right up to the edge of his nose. Now, I can't return, it says, to where it started, right? It has to come up short. And so they said, we want you to sit there, and we're going to let this thing swing out and come back, and we're going to see if the law of the pendulum really is true or not. See, he had a big choice to make right then, right? Is this true or not? Because if it's not true, he's going to need a nose job and some dental work done. And so here he sits, and it swings out. And as it's going out, he's, you know, of course, he's reminding himself. He said, look, I know the law of the pendulum. I know I've taught it for years. I know that it's got to be true. He said, all that was pretty good till I saw that thing getting bigger and bigger and closer and closer. And he had a choice to make. Did he really believe what he said he believed? Did he really believe enough to sit there and not flinch or bail out? You know, that's what faith is, folks. Faith is not just knowing a bunch of stuff. Faith is saying, I'm willing to put my life on the line because I believe that what God said is absolutely true every time. And it's awful easy for us to do when we're gathered together on Sunday mornings and say, I've got faith. But tomorrow when life gets up and slaps the snot out of you, it's a little different. Is God true or is God not true? Can I really believe that that thing isn't going to smack me in the face or that God's going to protect me? See, that's faith. And moments in our life like that, that defines really who we are. They're building block experiences in our life that truly change us forever. I mean, you can mark it down. At some point in your life and walk with Jesus, Jesus is going to ask you to give something, do something, or commit something that is truly going to require a great faith from you. Now, Jesus does not do that because he likes to see you squirm. Jesus does that because he knows that there's things that we can only experience about him and ourselves, then it only comes through faith. And so he gives us these opportunities for our faith to grow. But it's not easy. We think about the rich young ruler comes to Jesus. What must I do to have eternal life? Great question. Even ask the right person. Everything's going good until he got to the punchline answer, which says, go sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, then come follow me. And I had a lady, a parishioner in Evansville, Indiana, that one night after we had talked about this passage in a Bible study, she came up to me and said, oh, pastor, she said, I just don't think that Jesus calls all of us to do what he told the rich young ruler to do. I think that was just for him. And I looked at her that night and I said, I do, though. I think that's exactly what Jesus asked each and every one of us to do. See, we all have to be willing to give everything that we are if we're truly going to follow him. Now, many make the same mistake the rich young ruler made. He walked away, wasn't willing to truly commit everything that he had to Jesus. Many hold on to their stuff, never turning loose of it. And yet these moments of faith, you see, these help us define who we are. We have to make choices about who Jesus really is to us. Are we really willing to follow, or are we going to try to settle? And to settle simply means we might make a little room in our life for Jesus, but we'll try to get him to follow us instead of us follow him. Now, I know it's true that Jesus does not always call us to get out of the boat and walk on the water. But, and there's always a but out there, right? But Jesus does always require that we live by faith. So are we listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd? The more we do, the more we will find Jesus true. I think that generally when those big moments of faith show up, we're probably not thrilled that they showed up, but later on we often are. Because we look back and we see how Jesus came through and how he lifted us up and he sustained us. And all of a sudden, the next time the doubts show up, we're ready to say, you know what? Jesus took care of me last time. I believe he'll do it again. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and I lead them out. So the question becomes, are we going to follow? I mean, when the answer is no, it's just simply a matter of it's sin. It's wrong. We're settling for less. And as crazy as it is, even though we're often convinced that we know best, we just don't. We need to follow because Jesus will lead us to where we need to be. And yet too often we're duped into thinking that somehow if we really give our lives to God, if we really pursue this righteousness stuff, if we really try to become holy as God is holy, if we really become obedient, somehow that puts a restriction in our life. It holds us back. It's really just the opposite. Pastor Walter Cross from Florida told his congregation one day that he had taken his young son out to fly kites in South Florida. The wind was up that day, and they're out there, and he said, man, it didn't take much. That kite was soaring. In fact, they just kept unwinding the string, and it was getting higher and higher, and, man, it was great until all of a sudden, snap, the string broke. Now, some of you might think that now if the string broke, that kite will soar higher than it's ever been before. But you know what? The opposite is true. Without the string holding it down just a little bit, that kite came crashing to the earth in a matter of seconds. See, we get to thinking that these things hold us back when if the truth is it's righteousness and holiness and obedience to the Lord. These are the very things that cause us to soar higher than we've ever been before. I don't know what tomorrow has for me, and I certainly don't have any clue about what it has for you, but I can point you to the one that does. And what I know is that we don't have to stumble around in darkness. God said, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths will I guide them. I will turn darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will never forsake them. And of course, the good shepherd also said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. See, that's what I do know. I know that as we follow, we don't stumble around in darkness. Steve Winger from Lubbock, Texas, told about how he went skiing. And he said he was really amazed, he said, that week because what he saw several times was blind skiers. And they would have a special vest on, and they would be behind their instructor, and the instructor would be calling out exactly the turns and the weaves to make, you know, in some sort of code language so they knew how steep or how sharp to turn. But he said they would navigate these big hills on the snow simply following their instructor and following every command given. I thought, well, you know, that really is about living by faith right there, isn't it? If we just let Jesus get out in front of us and tell us when to go right and when to go left and how we could navigate life so much better. You see, as the good shepherd, Jesus has taken on many responsibilities. He's responsible to protect us, to provide for us, and truly, of course, he did that ultimately at Calvary. More than any other place, we can see right there that Jesus took care of every need we'll ever have. He took our sins, he took our doubt, he took our small and incomplete commitments, he took our small faith, and he paid the price, and the resurrection is proof positive that Jesus is who he said he was. So why the hesitation to listen and follow? Because the truth is, if you need healing today from some sort of anger or disappointment in your life, see, Jesus will heal you. Or if you need encouragement because life has knocked you down, Jesus will get you back up on your feet. Look, if you're afraid, you're looking out there in your life and you know there's some things coming in your life that really have you afraid and you don't know how you're going to be able to handle it. Look, life has to come through Jesus. That's the commitment he made. It's got to come through him to get to us, his sheep. I like that. Now, Jesus won't force the choice on you. I mean, let's just face it. He's God, and if he wanted to, he could kick down the doors of our hearts and come on in because he created us and he could do it, but he won't do that. To be a sheep in his flock is our choice. Unfortunately, remember, sheep are not the brightest animals in the pen. But then we don't have to be. Because the truth is, the choice is pretty simple. Jesus knows where we are, and he knows what's going on in our lives right now. And the truth is, if you're listening, he's speaking. And so, fellow sheep, it's time for us to make a decision. It's time for us to decide whether we're really going to let Jesus lead us or not. Here's what he wants. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. The closer we are to him, the better we know him, and the better life becomes. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the powerful words of what it means when you said you're the good shepherd. And Lord, in this moment, sometimes we find our faith weak. We find it not where we want it to be. But Lord, we know that it is through your grace that you call out to us anyway. So Lord, today, help us to open our lives, to humble ourselves before you. Lord, as we sing, Lord, the song that is soon to be coming, may this song become a moment where we truly say, here we are, Lord. We're committing everything that we have in our lives to you, and we're committing to following you. Whatever it is, Lord, help us to listen, and help us, Lord, to proclaim you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as we sing this morning.
In keeping with the pastor's message, let us turn to number 376. Number 376, I have decided to follow Jesus. If there's a need in your life for a closer walk with him, or maybe you have never followed him as a believer, we invite you to make that decision today. I have decided to follow Jesus. May it be a prayer of all of our hearts today.
He knows my name. He knows my name. I find great strength and comfort in that, and I pray that you do too.
So go tell Tom. Before you leave, let's just have a closing prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on our fellowship, on the meal that we're about to partake of. And when you get back there, you can enjoy the fellowship and meal. Father, thank you for this day, for the challenge of your word. May it fall upon our hearts as fertile soil and a fruitage for your glory. Now bless as we go to the fellowship hall together for fellowship and for food and for the support of the ministry team. Bless the food to our bodies, our fellowship for your glory, and use us for your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, church, and you are dismissed.